Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along with Matt Gorder, I am John Coffey, and we got a good show lined up for you tonight. On hand will be the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCullen. Also Northwest Associate Athletic Director for Development, Scott Nielsen. Head football coach Adam Dorrell, and two players off of his team, T.J. Schieber, a tight end, and a defensive end, Cass Weidel. That's all coming up on our program this evening. And Matt Gorder, another good week of sports at Northwest Missouri State. Not only Bearcat football this past Saturday with a win over Fort Hays State, but the Northwest cross country team. They had a great performance in the Central Region on the men's side.
Yeah, the men's team able to qualify for nationals. They're going to be heading down to St. Leo, Florida next week. Three finishing in the top 10, four finishing with all region honors. Just an incredible effort. And, you know, as they went into that regional meet, they were ranked fourth in the region, finished third in the meet. The top four, of course, go team-wise. And so, you know, you look at it in that sense, they stepped up from where they went in ranked, ran better than expected. It was the first time they had run a 10K race this season. So they went in, ran the 10K, ran it very well. Coach kind of joked a little bit earlier this week, said they all ran their personal best. Well, it's because they usually run 8Ks. But they did run very well, ran a great race. They're going to have an opportunity to go to nationals as a team and get down to Florida. And hopefully, you know, the region that they run in is a pretty tough region. So hopefully they get an opportunity to go down and be successful at nationals as well.
For the Bearcat football team, a win against Fort Hays State over in Hays, Kansas, and a game that was essentially a kind of a defensive battle for a lot of that ball game.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, I think Hays had one of the top, if not the top defense that Northwest has gone against this year, at least on that day. They played really well. I know I've talked to a lot of people that said, you know, hey, what happened to the offense? You know, and it's great when you can win a game by 21 and everybody's concerned that maybe it was a little bit too close, but you have to give some credit to Hays. I think they played real well. I know Coach Dorrell, you know, wasn't real excited about the way the team had played, but, you know, if you can play a good team, not play perfect and still win, it really says a lot about your program, and that's what they were able to do on Saturday in Hays, Kansas.
And it really might have been one of the hardest hitting games of the season.
So physical. We saw so many guys go out, go down with injuries. Most of them not long-term. There were a couple of longer terms in there, but that's what's going to happen in a physical game like that, and especially when both teams play very physical. If just one or the other team plays physical, I don't think you see as many injuries, but we saw them because both teams were getting after each other for sure.
You know, a lot of times we talk about the upcoming weekend, and, well, we got a busy weekend ahead of us. Well, that's an understatement for this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a way to put into words what it's like for Bearcat fans this weekend other than, man, it's pretty awesome. It's so many sports with basketball getting started this weekend. Volleyball and football going to be home this weekend, both with senior days. Volleyball's, well, both on Saturday, as a matter of fact. And basketball, both the men's and women's teams in action this weekend. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And at least some of that's at home, too. We've seen some of those busy weekends where everybody's away, but at least some of that activity's at home this weekend.
The one that's on the road is the Northwest women's basketball team as they open things up down in Bolivar, competing in a classic that is hosted by Southwest Baptist. Northwest opening up with Ouachita Baptist tomorrow evening at 8:15. We'll have the broadcast on KXCV, KRNW, beginning at 7:55 with our pregame. And then on Saturday night, they also have an 8:15 start as well, Henderson State. So they're on the road to open things up. But under now head coach Buck Shields, he has the official title after taking over midway through last season as interim. And be anxious to see what he's got coming up this season.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he's that way too. I saw the exhibition that they played here a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And they just looked comfortable. They looked a lot more comfortable even now than they did toward the end of last year. I think as the season went on last year, they got more and more comfortable. You could tell that, and that carried over. And I think they're even in a better spot at the beginning of this year than where they were at the end of the last year. And that usually means good things to come. Are they going to fight for an MIAA title this year? Maybe not, but they are going to be an improved basketball team over last year for sure.
Now, when you talked about a lot of events at home this weekend, one's not really at home, but not too far down the road with the Northwest men's team down in St. Joseph opening up with Upper Iowa Friday afternoon. So if you're able to take tomorrow afternoon off and go down to St. Joe, watch Northwest men play Upper Iowa in a 3 o'clock tip, and then get back in time for volleyball in the evening.
Yeah, it's one of those. You can do the double dip, and those opportunities don't come along very often, although I say that, and there's going to be 2 in 2 days. You talk about that one, and then Saturday you've got potential to do football, volleyball in the same day, in the same town even. So there are a couple of opportunities to do that, but really that doesn't come along very often. So hopefully as many people as possible can take advantage of that.
Well, then they want to rest up a little bit after volleyball Saturday night, get ready to go down to St. Joe on Sunday afternoon to watch Bearcat men wrap things up down in.
Yep, absolutely. And then you're also going to have the selection show on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock in terms of the football playoffs. So, I mean, it's not like this is a Friday-Saturday busy weekend. It rolls all the way through the whole weekend.
Well, it's going to be a fun one.
Absolutely.
Again, we've got a busy show tonight here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We talked about the lineup a little bit earlier as we came on. Coming up next, we'll be talking with the Northwest Associate Athletic Director for Development, Scott Nielsen, and they'll be up in just a moment. A reminder, too, that support for the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, comes from the student body. Screen printing and embroidery now located near the Northwest campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of appetizers, sandwiches, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And coming up next, we'll talk with Scott Nielsen. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Nottoway Valley Bank. With 8 locations, NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for almost a century and a half. The right bank is right at your fingertips at nvb.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Jesse, Maggie Wilson, and Chad Townsend offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audio Visual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW. And right now joined by Scott Nielsen, the Associate Athletic Director for Development and External Affairs at Northwest Missouri State. And Scott, I guess I know you're a busy guy, but for those of you maybe not familiar with what your job entails, kind of give us an idea of what the day-to-day is and what your work with the athletic department is.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on first. We've got a pretty diverse administrative staff. We all kind of get our hands into everything. We all kind of work together. But my main kind of day-to-day duties are involved with, like, the Booster Club and our connection to the foundation on campus. So if our individual sports do fundraisers, or as a department as we're doing fundraising activities, a lot of that stuff is kind of passing through my area, and I work obviously closely with Coach T on a lot of those initiatives, and then, you know, working with Marshall and Nate when it comes to marketing and media relations, and really just anything that is going to touch the outside fan when they come to a game, making sure we're providing a good experience and good entertainment.
And it really seems like the group that you work with, and you mentioned some of those, you guys work so well together that I think it enhances those experiences. Do you feel it makes it a lot easier for planning those types of events because of that?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got a good staff of people you know you can count on, people that aren't afraid to work some extra hours or help you out where you need to. And, you know, the world of college athletics, especially on the administrative side, there's a lot of turnover. For people to advance, they usually move around from school to school. And we've been fortunate, you know, now we've had a pretty consistent administrative staff here for the last 3 or 4 years. And I think that makes a big difference when it comes to building and consistently providing a consistent product to the fans and our student athletes and our coaches. They get to know us, we get to know them. You're not going through things for the first time. You're able to actually improve and make them better.
It almost seems like a lot of the people that you've mentioned and yourself, you're kind of the offensive lineman of the athletic department, where you're working your tails off but maybe don't get the credit that you deserve, except being able to see some successes with the programs.
I think like an offensive lineman, you don't want to be the one that's the topic of the conversation when people leave. So I think that's a good thing. You want your accolades to come later as people are looking back and evaluating, not in the heat of the moment. They don't want you to stick out and be a reason for concern. I think we all enjoy being in athletics. Obviously, we know the hours and the time commitment when you sign up for the job, and it's fun to do a job like this with people that are good and that work hard and that kind of share that common goal. And, you know, we take the same joy and excitement and successes that our fans and our coaches and our student athletes do, because we know we're all working together for the same mission.
You mentioned the Booster Club, obviously mm-hmm. a very big part of what you do. The year kind of gets started off every year with that Booster Club picnic and things like that, which, you know, we had a great showing this mm-hmm. year. Talk about the importance of the Booster Club and some of the things that are able to be done in the department for the student athletes because of the Booster Club.
Sure. Well, you know, obviously I don't think our department, it could function, but not near to the level of what it is without the Booster Club's involvement. You know, we have right now a little over 500 members in the Booster Club. We generate close to $90,000 to $100,000 in revenue that we turn around and reinvest back into our department. So, and particularly to our student athletes and our particular sports. So, we have operating budgets from the university, but they basically take care of the bare minimums. For us to do anything to enhance the experience, to provide additional details and equipment, things like that for our programs, we need the Booster Club. It's essential that we have that. So they do a wide variety of things, a lot of things in the areas of strength and conditioning and athletic training. The reason those are hot-button issues or focus areas for us is because those are areas that touch every student-athlete we have. Joe's able to work with everybody. Kelly's able to work and treat everybody. So we feel like investments in those areas make for good returns. And I think when you see the way our teams perform, I think you can see the benefit that we're getting from that. Individual programs will have various requests throughout the year. A lot of times what we're taking care of are things that they're not going to necessarily budget for on an annual basis. You know, you'll talk to Coach McCollum here in a little bit. One of the things that the Booster Club provided a few years back for both his program and the women's program was a couple of the automatic shooting guns, which are you know, a $5,000-$6,000 piece of equipment, but they get used every day on campus.
Yeah.
By our men's and women's basketball players. And, you know, I had Zach Schneider helping me last year in the office, and Zach, when he wasn't up in the office throughout the summer, he was on that shooting gun. And I know he said his goal was to get, I think, around 1,000 to 1,500 makes every day in the off season, and then during the season he gets 300 to 500 that he has as a goal to make every day outside of what he's doing in practice. And, you know, he's the perfect example of, if we've provided the equipment to our student athletes, they're going to invest the time in making themselves better, and the byproduct is, you know, the success on the court or on the field, whatever.
You know, I think that maybe it obviously helps Zach out, or the athletes, the shooting gun. I think maybe it probably helps out more the person that would have to get up and rebound. You know, if he wants to make 1,500, He's probably only taken 1,503 shots, but that's right. Still a lot of shots to have to rebound.
The shooting gun is the student manager's best friend, I think. They allow them to stay in bed, and you know, that's the thing with not only Zach, but any of our men's, women's student athletes. I mean, it's not rare to, when you arrive to work in the morning at 7:30, 8 o'clock, there's student athletes on that gun, and if we have an event in the evening where the gym's not being used, you're probably going to see somebody on there at 8 or 9 o'clock. So it really allows them to invest in their own personal game and get better individually and then focus on team-oriented things when it comes to practice.
And when you talk about the impact that what the Booster Club does has, one thing that kind of hit me a little bit, because sometimes you think, oh, the Booster Club there is to buy high-dollar equipment, you know, pay for these big things and stuff like that, but one of the things that I heard from Miranda Foster from the volleyball team earlier this year that she liked that the Booster Club helped out with was just as simple as the tape that goes across mm-hmm. the top of the net says yep. Bearcat Volleyball on yep. it, and in the past it's just been a white tape. That's not a huge expense. Mm-hmm. It's something the Booster Club helped them out with, and it brings more pride to
sure.
the student-athlete. And I think the branding and the paws everywhere, even in the weight room, you mm-hmm. know, you see the paws everywhere. That really helps with the student-athlete pride in their program and everything they're surrounded by.
Absolutely. Like I said, it doesn't matter. It can be a small ticket or a larger ticket item. Sometimes the Booster Club's just going in, paying for partial, you know, of the main amount that's needed. But, again, we kind of look at it as is the request that's coming through either from, you know, a person that's heading up an area like Joe in strength and conditioning or one of our coaches. Is it something that is going to impact their program? Is it going to make our coaches more effective? Is it going to make our student-athlete experience better? And what you mentioned with Miranda in volleyball, it's little, but the pads on the posts and the tape yep. across the net, I mean, it adds a little extra feel, a little home court advantage, gives them a little more pride and just some of the neat little things that we can add that I think enhance the overall product.
And looking at, you know, somebody who may have been thinking about joining the Booster Club, that sort of thing, how is it decided? Maybe take us through the process on how it's decided where the money's spent, how the money's spent, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we've got a board, and we actually have a meeting tonight. We meet once a month, the second Thursday of every month. We have a board of 14 directors that are Booster Club members that are in elected positions. They serve three-year terms, and we get together every month, and really the way it works is there's Coach T and myself and Mark Clements on the admin side. We're kind of the initial gatekeepers. A request from a coach or an area will come to us for, you know, providing assistance. We kind of look at it and say, one, is this a necessary assistance, an area that we need to assist? Is it something that can't be covered by another budget somewhere else? And if it can't, we'll put together a proposal and we'll bring it to the board. Every month we meet, we may have two requests, we may have eight requests. It just kind of fluctuates based on the time of year and what's going on. And the board gets together, the coach will come in and present what they want, why it's beneficial to them, and then we have some great discussion, and then they have the ultimate veto power if they want to approve it or not. And, you know, most of the time they're pretty good, but if there's things that they have questions about, they certainly will ask us to do more research or find alternatives. So they're very good stewards of that money to make sure that it's not going for fancy things around our office or anything like that.
Now let's kind of turn our attention to Tuesday's election. not going to talk politics.
No comment.
Don't
yeah.
worry.
Yeah.
But one part of that here in Maryville that I know was big for the department and the community as a whole was the passage of that bed tax mm-hmm. that went through. I know a portion of the monies from that will help with that indoor facility. And I know there's a lot of work that's been done, still a lot left to do, but that's got to be an encouraging step for that process.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to put it. It's a very encouraging step, and it's good momentum this week. And hopefully, you know, as that project continues to move along, you know, I know we've been on the inside for a while, and we've been very excited about seeing that from the beginning stages and to where it's at now. And hopefully, you know, with this vote and with more public interest and involvement, that momentum and interest will continue to grow. And yeah, there's definitely still more money to be raised, but the community passing That on Tuesday was a huge step of support. And we've talked about a lot of times, I'm sure you guys have read or heard, I mean, that's not, while it will be a great benefit to athletics and a lot of things that we're doing enhance so many things that we're doing from an athletic department, it's a much greater issue than that. It's a student university thing, and now it's a community thing. So I'm just excited as somebody that grew up in this area to see how that can not only change the university but the city and the region. You know, I'm from Barnard. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have that growing up, to have that as an option to have summer activities or camps or, you know, anything like that. And I just think having that resource in this community is going to be a big, big advantage.
And when you talk about the crossover between the community and the university, I know the student athletes are always involved in the community, and another opportunity, it sounds like, tomorrow where some will be involved in the community as well.
Yeah, we've got some student athletes going to Hy-Vee, and Hy-Vee is obviously a great supporter of this community, but particularly our athletic department. We partner with them at a lot of different opportunities. So tomorrow, with it being Veterans Day, they have a great program where they offer free breakfast to veterans. I believe they start at 6 in the morning. They go till 11 or noon. So we've partnered with them the last few years and been able to get student-athletes to come out. And they really just go around. They greet veterans. They bus tables. They help them out with anything. They just visit. They pass out schedule cards. Just really a neat opportunity to engage with the community. We find a lot of opportunities for our student-athletes to interact with the youth in this area, which is great. But I think a lot of times it's the adults and these veterans groups and things like that that enjoy getting to know our student-athletes just as much as the kids. And hopefully our student-athletes, that's maybe a little bit earlier than they're used to getting up, but hopefully they'll enjoy it and appreciate the fact that we have a chance to serve those that have done so much for us and really honor them, not only tomorrow, but you know, throughout the year with all the different activities that we're able to do.
I bet the ones that will do it for the first time tomorrow will probably realize late morning that they get just as much, if not more, out of learning from these veterans, talking to them, hearing the stories, that sort of thing. You know, they think, well, we're going to serve the veterans, mm-hmm. and then they walk away, you know, feeling better and getting more from the veterans. You know, that's just a great opportunity.
Absolutely, and that's the people say a lot, but that is the unique thing about Maryville and this community is our student athletes, I think, don't fully understand what impact this community is going to have on their life until they get here on campus. They may, you know, sign their letter of intent and they want to come here and play a specific sport and they think, well, I'm going to get better at my sport, get a college degree and leave. But I think most of them, if not all of them, leave with attachment to this community they never thought they would have, and it's due in large part to being able to get out and do things like that. And hopefully they can take advantage of an opportunity where, you know, there's only a short segment in your life where people want to talk to you about things like that and take advantage of that and appreciate it and share some of their stories.
I think we kind of heard some of that during the Hall of Fame induction, and that's one of the things you and Michelle Steinmeier worked very hard to put together. But I think we heard it at least in three of the speeches, the drive. Mm-hmm. They were talking about the drive into Maryville. They've made it so many times. For some of them, it's been many years, but the drive. It mm-hmm. felt like home, and you know, like you're talking about, that's what these student-athletes are going to have.
Right, and those are, you mentioned the Hall of Fame. Those types of events are a lot of work, but they're so rewarding, and I think for us, especially this time of year when you guys were going over the schedule earlier, there's so many activities going on. It's easy to kind of get worn down and beat down, and you get so much energy when you leave an event like that. And I know you did a great job of emceeing that for us. And, you know, just to hear, what those athletes talk about isn't hitting the game-winning shot or scoring the game-winning touchdown. It's about practice, or it's about something little, or it's about going with their teammates out to eat and how the community makes a difference, or how a staff member or a faculty member made a difference in their life. And I think that's good for all of us to hear sometimes, because it doesn't have to be this grandiose interaction. It can just be a simple, you know, communication back and forth with somebody that makes an impact. So that really helps inspire us to keep working hard and doing what we can to improve their experience.
And one other thing before we let you go, one that's really neat about Saturday, I just think this is such a great idea for this region, but going to celebrate Ag Day. Mm-hmm. Obviously hoping the Cats can harvest a victory, but sorry, couldn't pass it up. But talk a little bit about Ag Day and kind of the focus on Saturday around that.
Yeah, well, this is the second year from a football standpoint that we've been able to partner with the School of Ag Sciences on campus. And, you know, Rod Barr, obviously, is the director there, has kind of been the driving force behind that. And he, not only is he very passionate about ag, but he's passionate about Bearcat football. So that's the kind of the merging of two wonderful things in his life. And he's really been great about organizing a lot of things from an ag perspective, both pregame and postgame, and then allowing us kind of in-game to showcase what is one of the most important aspects of this community in this region, which is the agriculture side. So, you know, the football team, I'm sure you guys have seen, will be wearing customized decals on their helmets. Coach Doyle is excited about that. I know he shared with our student athletes, and they, especially those that are from an agriculture background or an ag major, I think will take some extra pride in what they're representing that day. There'll be some farm equipment and things like that out around the stadium and all that. So just really a chance to kind of salute, like I said, an area that's so important to this region. I mean, we've got so many wonderful farmers and families that support, and, you know, again, myself growing up on a farm, it's neat to be able to take a unique aspect of our community and showcase that in front of, you know, all of our fans on game day.
Well, Scott, thanks for joining us. Keep up the great work in your part. I know it's a team effort up there in the athletic department, but keep up the great work and keep the Bearcats rolling along.
Great. Well, thank you.
That is Scott Nielsen. He is an Associate Athletic Director for Development and External Affairs at Northwest Missouri State. And when we come back, we're going to have more from Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at Heinlein Home Furnishings.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarryvilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCullum. And Ben, the season hasn't even started for you, and the crowd just to your right here is a little unruly as you get up here.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of used to that. I usually have fans yelling behind me to call what play and how bad a coach. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's good that people are out, and obviously we've gained some support for men's basketball, and you know, we love to have people a part of it.
Well, the season gets underway tomorrow down at St. Joseph as you face Upper Iowa in 3 o'clock tip-off. I imagine it seems like it's been a little bit of time now as you've gone through all the different types of preseason workouts leading up to this, and it's about time to hit the court for you.
It is. We've had three scrimmages and played well in all three. Now it's time to obviously to get a game that actually counts and get in front of a crowd and see how our kids perform. I think these early season, we've always scheduled very difficult. Last year we had a number one strength of schedule in our region. Hopefully we do that again this season. I think these early games really expose some of the things that you may be doing wrong, and so then you're able to improve throughout the season, and I think that's why you see late in the season, you know, in particular last year where we had, what did we have, a 17, 18, 19 game winning streak, and I think that was because of these early tough games.
And when you look at Upper Iowa, a team that you lost to last year to open up the season, they're a team that I know you were talking with a little bit earlier this week, kind of presents some unique challenges for first game of the year.
They do. They're just a team that early in the season, first game, they're going to play just as well as they do in game 25. They're just one of those teams that they really don't have a clear system. You know, they've got one little ball screen that they set, and then after that, it's just they just play. And, you know, shoot a lot of threes, a lot of penetrating pitch. Defensively, they don't really have a rhyme or reason. They don't exactly get after it defensively. It almost makes it more difficult to go against because, you know, for us, we're used to really good defensive teams that really have a system, so you're able to pick out certain things that you can do against them to expose. Well, against these guys, you can't really expose that. But they do play hard. They do have seniors, and they are well coached, even though, you know, it seems fairly disorganized.
And after the matchup against Upper Iowa, they often then back down to St. Joseph on Sunday.
Yeah, Wayne State, they'll be – I haven't even watched them. I know they've got a new coach and a lot of returners, so hopefully we can have another tough test.
Going into this season, only losing just one starter off of last year's squad, but it's a pretty good starter in Connor Cricker. Just talk about the makeup of the team and trying to replace Connor in the lineup this year.
Yeah, it's a little different. I think we're a little better defensively this season to start. You know, when you play Anthony Woods a little bit more, Chris Endow, Zave Kurth, some of those guys at the guard spot, it makes you a little longer, a little bit more physical defensively, which has helped us in our scrimmages. The thing that we'll miss is just his offensive IQ, his ability to make shots, his ability to make plays, those kind of things that are obviously very important to an offense. So I think offensively we are clicking right now in scrimmages, but I think that'll change once the game starts and there'll be some slippage and we'll be defended differently, we'll be scouted better and things of that nature. So I don't know, we'll see what that impact makes on our team. I don't think we'll have Chris anyway for tomorrow, but you know, hopefully we'll have him Sunday.
By having so many returners in the lineup for this season, not only starters but guys that will be counted on coming off the bench, talk a little bit about the off season and how having such an experienced group going through, what that means to your team.
Well, it helps me as a coach because they already know you're not spending a lot of time teaching things over and over. I think the thing that you have to be careful of is making sure, and we've said it before in interviews, is going from good to great, where our guys don't have bad practices, they don't have bad days. You can fall in love with good days, and in order for us to be at our best, we need to have great days. So that's been the fight this season, but for the most part, our kids have been locked in, ready to go, and they know the system, they know what we expect, and now it's just about carrying it over.
And what about some of the younger guys right now that fans can take a look at this year? Just talk a little bit about some names that will get a little bit of time as the season goes on.
Well, we redshirted three last season. Tyler Doherty, Kirk Finley, and Grant Graham all could see some time. We signed three high school kids, two post players. Well, both of them are pretty skilled. Ryan Hawkins and then Ryan Welty. Both can really stretch the floor. Both can really shoot it. Both can drive. They're just very skilled post players. And then a shooter out of Iowa named Derek Lang. But we're excited about our younger kids and especially those two freshman bigs that, they've been really good this preseason.
And you talked a little bit earlier about playing a very tough non-conference schedule. And let's just look ahead a little bit. I know you can't too much with what's coming on this weekend going on the road, but fans will have an opportunity to see a pretty good matchup next week when you open up with the home schedule facing the defending national champion in Augustana.
Yeah, November 17th. I know that everybody's excited about it. I haven't paid attention to what Augie's doing whatsoever. I've somewhat promoted it just to make sure that we get fans and get a good atmosphere for our kids and just kind of return the favor of their atmosphere up there. So, we're always excited to play good competition, especially them, and especially just with the history it adds to that. And, again, it exposes us early in the season. There's no better team that's to be able to expose what we do than a team that's seen us three times. And so that'll make us better when we hit conference and then when we hit postseason.
And after that, back on the road, but trip out to Denver, as you'll be facing a very good team, traditionally a very good team that's had a national title, believe to their credit, a few years ago, but Metro State, so that ought to be a pretty tough matchup as well.
Yeah, traditionally, they had a down year last year. They had 19 wins, so that was their that was their down year. Yeah, they're generally in the top 10 in the country, if not top 5. They've been to multiple Elite Eights, multiple Final Fours, and a few championships, and they're going to be good, especially on their home floor. And again, that was one of those games. It's like, well, let's just do it. But you know, the game after that is really the game that'll probably be might be one of the most difficult of all with Lake Superior State. They've got everybody back from the team that made it to the round of 32 and lost to Bellarmine. So we've got a tough schedule. But again, we need to win tomorrow before we get into the rest of the schedule.
Well, if things go well down the line, though, when it comes playoff time, that tough schedule, the strength of schedule will help you out at that point for a lot of different reasons.
I think so. I think it has helped us in the past. My biggest thing is I don't like to play 500 teams. I like to play, like, 750-plus teams or horrible teams. The 500 teams are the ones that are just – they're no fun to play because – you know, they don't really help your strength of schedule, and all of the 500 teams can beat you. I mean, anybody, pretty much everybody in our conference can beat us on any given night. They're good enough to do that, but you're supposed to beat them. So I'd rather play those 750 teams or just teams that, hey, just show up and you'll win.
When you play the type of schedule you play, too, with the conference season starting earlier than it used to back many years ago, I would imagine, too, that helps you kind of get the game ready for a very tough conference schedule.
Well, absolutely. Again, it exposes things. And our kids have been tested up to conference, and I think that's really helped us. I think when teams don't get exposed, I mean, when we play against Upper Iowa, this will be as good a game plan as they're going to have all season long. Because right now we're number 6 in the country preseason and picked first to win the conference and whatnot. So their attention to detail for our game is going to be as much as it will be for anybody throughout the season. Wayne State will be the same way. Augie will be the same way. So we're taking everybody's best shot, and they're all good teams this whole pre-conference. So then when we get to conference, you know, that kind of levels out a little bit. Teams aren't as excited to play you, but we've been exposed. We're able to make the adjustments and be good once conference hits.
And it all starts again tomorrow afternoon down in St. Joseph against Upper Iowa. One thing about it, a couple road games to open up with, but fans don't have to travel too far to watch play this weekend. So that's always good as far as you get the fan base for the weekend.
Yeah, we actually get decent crowd down there. It's at an odd time this year where it's 3 o'clock. I think they have women's games maybe 1 and 5 maybe. It's an easy trip down, and you know, we have drawn. I think we had quite a few fans compared to even Missouri Western last season, and hopefully we get the same this year, and hopefully we can play well, a lot better than we did last year. But we'll see. I mean, we played okay last year watching back on film. We missed 18 free throws. Justin goes 0-for-7 from 3. You know, we missed probably 5 layups to start the game, and I'm sitting there watching like, oh, my, we were bad. But it's just game slippage things, and I'm hoping we kept scoring a couple of our scrimmages to try to prevent some of that slippage. I'm hoping that'll help eliminate some of that slippage.
All right, well, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us tonight, and we'll talk to you before the game tomorrow afternoon.
Thanks a lot, John.
Yeah, that is Ben McCollum, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat basketball team.
There we go.
When we come back, we'll turn our attention to football as we'll be talking with TJ Sheber along with Cass Weidel. That's all coming up on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show when we continue right after this timeout on the KXCV KRW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Wright Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And time now to turn our attention to football. And we've got a couple members of the Bearcat football team with us, and Cass Weidel on the defensive side of defensive end, and tight end T.J. Sheeper with us. And, guys, thanks a lot for being with us here on the program tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And, first of all, T.J., let's talk about last week, a big touchdown for you in that ball game against the Florida State.
Yeah, I don't know. I just ended up getting my number called and was able to make a play last week.
It seems like from your position, traditionally through the years, the tight end spot might go several games before you have your number called for a pass, but it seems like they come at big times as the season comes on when they hit the tight end.
Well, I'm a little oversized, so I don't run many routes because I'm honestly pretty slow, if you've ever watched me play. But, yeah, I'll occasionally get a couple of routes and try and make a play when they throw it to me.
All right, and Cass, let's just talk a little bit about you as a defensive end coming in, having a pretty good season up to this point, and just talk a little bit about the way things have gone for you this year.
It's going pretty good so far. I got to give a shout out to starting D line, Bobby, Bevo, and Caleb over there. They told me that I'd give them a shout out before I came up here. So, but yeah, the season's going pretty good. D line's starting to get together and playing pretty well right now. So.
Hey, you might keep those guys happy over there, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
When you talk about the coming together, that's really a lot of what it is with the defensive line too. Just that cohesiveness you guys are able to bond together as the year goes on.
Yeah, we all focus on each other, working for each other. I mean, not one person makes the play. We all have to play together. And the better we do that, the better we're going to be as a D-line. So.
And it's not even only the starters, but you guys go pretty deep there as well, where a lot of guys get a lot of snaps during the game.
Yeah, it's nice to have a deep rotation at the D-line now that people are getting more comfortable with where they're at. So.
And TJ, on the offensive side, the offensive line's done a great job this year. You've been a part of that as well, as far as protecting the quarterback and doing a lot of things, opening up the running game as well. Just talk about some of your goals you have as a tight end working on that line.
We work real closely with the offensive tackles at tight end, and we've been doing a pretty good job overall this year. Had a bad game last week, so we got to get better from that, correct some of our mistakes, and we'll be locked in and ready to go for this game.
How much of that do you credit to Fort Hays? They came in as one of the top teams as far as getting pressure on quarterback and just a lot of very good defensive stats. How much of a factor was just playing against a better team than what you've seen maybe in the past few weeks?
I mean, that was a big factor. I mean, they had two really good defensive linemen, and their front seven overall is pretty good, but, you know, we've got to execute too. I mean, just because they're good doesn't mean we can't still execute.
From our vantage point, it really seemed like, and this for both of you guys, it really seemed like that might have been one of the most physical games you guys have been up against so far.
Yeah, they're a good, good physical team. We watch them a lot on defense, too, when we scout other offenses. And they have a good front seven, like you said, and their O-line was physical against us, and they're good running the ball. So.
Yeah, definitely best D-line and front seven we've seen, in my opinion, against the run at least, and rushing the passer all year.
It's been a heck of a run not only this season, but when you look at the past two seasons combined, you guys set a record last week for the most consecutive wins in program history at 25, and hopefully it's still going as you go into this weekend. But I know it's one game at a time and 1/11th and all that that you guys hear, but as you take a look at that a little bit right now, what does it mean to be a part of a group right now that set the program record for consecutive wins?
Just, I mean, the senior class that came in here, I mean, we all – lately, we've been all focused on just, I mean, we had goals that we set at the beginning of the year, and we want to accomplish those goals, and we take it a week at a time, like you said. But it's just hopefully after the season I'll kind of look at back at it more. But
yeah, we never really know. Honestly, I didn't know we were at 25 until you told me. Generally, we have no idea where we're at until somebody asks us a question about it.
It's that pesky media that lets you. You guys know some of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I imagine AD probably just soon you guys don't hear about that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And TJ, coming from Hamilton to Northwest Missouri State, just talk a bit about what attracted you to the Bearcat program and to Northwest and Maryville.
Just wanted to come to a place that could win. I mean, obviously, they'd have this tradition's been established for, you know, over a decade, so that was the main thing for me.
And Castle, coming from Carroll, Iowa, what brought you to Northwest?
I came down here for the studies. I wanted to be an ag major, and there's really not many schools around Iowa that have that. And then football just on top of that. I mean, they gave me a chance down here. Not many schools did, and I made the most of it. Enjoyed every minute of it. So,
well, let's just talk about that ag part of it. It's a pretty big weekend for you coming up, Missouri Western, of course, but it's Ag Day on the campus and honoring agriculture during the football game. And from your standpoint, what does this mean to you?
Just, I mean, growing up with it, I grew up on a small farm, helping my dad all the time, just being able to represent what we do. I mean, just celebrating all the people that work really hard to put food on your table and be a farmer, what it's like to be a farmer. So,
I know there's going to be a lot of farm implements and things lined up outside the stadium.
Yep.
That kind of give you a special feeling as you come in?
Yeah, makes it feel like home. I mean, I feel like I'm at home all the time when I'm down here, so it feels good.
And the special decals for the helmets. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I know that was pretty special that they're doing that too, so.
When you guys prepare for each game, it almost need somebody in charge of fashion and the way the different uniform looks you guys have. I don't know if you guys have had the same look in the consecutive games at all season, have you?
Tell you that's not our
that's not me.
Yeah, it's not us.
No,
definitely not
that's
us.
Our equipment manager does a good job.
Yeah.
And some of the other seniors, Kevin and Jack Young, kind of enjoy that aspect. Yeah.
And what goes into determining the uniform each week?
I think it's usually Kevin and Jack.
Kevin and Jack.
I'm pretty sure
well,
those two.
All right. Well, we might talk a little bit about the matchup with Missouri Western tomorrow. And on the first broadcast, talk about some things you're keying on looking at Missouri Western.
Just, I mean, how physical. I mean, we went back to think about last year, how physical they played us and how close of a game it was in going into the third quarter. We know it's going to be a dogfight, and I mean, their coaches are going to have their players ready to play against us. They know that it's probably going to be their last game of the season, so they're going to give it all they got. So for their seniors.
And TJ, on the offensive side, what have you been kind of keen on this week?
I mean, you know, they've got nothing but lose. That's the big thing. They're going to come in and play hard. They always play us tough. We just got to match that and just honestly play harder than them. That's kind of our big thing.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Again, we've been talking with defensive end Cass Wido along with tight end TJ Schieber with us here on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll continue to talk football as the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, is with us, and we'll talk to AD right after this from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Today's game is underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing, copying, and other services such as folding, stapling, binding, and laminating, as well as supplying ink and toner. Rapid Elite also provides UPS and FedEx shipping services. More information at 562-4657.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And with us now, the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, and AD. Coming off another win last week against Fort Hays State. I know there are a lot of things you wanted to work on coming out of that, but still, you look at it, against a hard-hitting team like Fort Hays State coming away with a good win.
Yeah, it was, John. Thanks. It was anytime you go on the road and get a win, it's a good deal. And you know, I think Chris Brown, their head coach, is a good friend of mine. I've known him for years. He's done just a tremendous job. If you look at where they were compared to where they are now and what he's done in a short amount of time, it's amazing. You know, you guys were out there. You've seen what they've done with their facilities and really upgraded. They're doing a heck of a job recruiting. There's just kids from everywhere. You know, like, it's funny, look at the roster. They've got Florida kids. We've got Florida kids. They're actually the, in my opinion, kind of the that started that Florida trend years ago, and they've continued to do it. So I was happy that we got the win. It was a physical game, and I think we grew from that, really. I really do, and hopefully we'll see that on Saturday right away.
I know after the ball game, you're a little frustrated, yeah, with the way things went, but we've talked all year how you've had rough times but still, yeah, getting wins. Yeah. When do we need to be past that, yeah, and just have good games from here,
yeah,
on?
Yeah, well, there? It's first off, frustrated. It probably isn't a word. I mean, like, I'm the guy. I'm so anal about everything, and I want everything to be perfect. And it always takes me a little while to decompress because, you know, perfect. That's never going to happen. But I go back and you look at the team that we played and just our physicality. I think we needed that. To be real frank with you, I don't think we'd had that in a while. So we got that physicality. We got that blue-collar style of play that they brought. I had to go on the road and win. Our starters had to play a full game. They haven't had to do that for a while. So, you know, it's to the point where in November you want to be playing good football. So, again, we're going to try to get rolling with that right away on Saturday.
I thought the big key offensively was in the second half where your team needed to make some plays. They, yeah, stepped up and made those plays.
Yeah, they did. I thought our running backs ran really, really hard. You go back and look, and don't think we executed the way we wanted to up front. And Phil, Cameron, and Jordan, man, were making guys miss. Level two linebackers, even some safeties getting down in there. And it led to both of those scores late in the game, so it was huge.
When you talk about the running game, people want to see running backs go over, yeah, 100 yards. But it seemed like that was a game where even though there weren't huge numbers,
right,
they ran better than if they had been over 100,
yeah,
yards.
The way they ran, I don't think their stats indicated the way they ran, because I thought both those kids ran hard. The entire night they finished their runs, had great ball security too. So, but again, we always talk about November when the leaves start falling off the tree and the fields get empty. It's time to run the football, and I always have a little saying, you know, you throw the football to score points, but you run the football to win. And really try to get our guys to buy in that this time of year.
Well, you know, we've got the leaves falling off the trees, yeah, right now, but 72 degrees,
oh, man,
today for practice.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like you're sitting out there looking up, and it's one of the things we always try to talk about, and you know, all the great things we have here, and try to keep the kids focused on that, but it's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. Watching everybody run around, the track team's still out there running around, and you know, our guys being in short sleeves, coaches in short sleeves, it's just feel very blessed. And the Florida guys, you know, they have no clue. You know, the Florida kids are all smiling like, yeah, this isn't that bad, and I just keep waiting. Okay, you know, we'll talk here, and we'll talk in a month and see what you think. But we're trying to make the most of the great weather. We really are.
Yeah, we kind of joke about it a little bit, but do you find that it is easier for the guys to just pay attention, to be on par when it's – because when it gets bitterly cold, it's just hard
it's
to
tough,
focus,
yeah,
you know.
It is, and you try to be real – when it gets that cold, Matt, to be honest with you, you have to almost honestly cut back a little bit, and you try to be really, really efficient with your time and get guys out there. The thing that I've found when it gets bitterly cold like that, it's hard to keep the scout team guys as focused. I mean, you're always on them, and they're sitting there looking at you, you know, and they get snot running out of their nose, and their hands are freezing. So, yeah, it is. I really do think it helps keeps everybody's focus, and ours included. It's just great. You've been inside all day. You've been in the office, and it's just a real shot in the arm when you get out there, and it's sunshine and beautiful weather.
I know we've talked about this before, too, a little bit this year, but, boy, when you look at game day, it's, I don't know if we've ever had a season where game after game the weather's been as good as it has been.
No, and, I mean, you know, the wind. We've hardly had any wind, which – You know, for up here, you know, it's been great. But you're right, John. The weather's just been superb, and I think I don't know. Somebody's telling me maybe it's supposed to be like 58 at kickoff, and the big guys are fired up about that. They like the temperature down a little bit, but man, it's going to be a beautiful day. Hardly any wind, and just really hoping for a great atmosphere.
Boy, and not just Missouri Western coming up, but a lot to play for on Saturday.
Yeah, it is. You know, you start with the seniors. That's the most important thing that. We've talked about since Sunday. There's a lot of things that we're playing for on Saturday, but the number one most important thing that we're playing for is our senior class. What they have done in their career here at Northwest Missouri State, not just on the football field, but academically, what they've done in the community. I'm just so proud of them and what they stand for and what they represent. So our focus as a football program has been on sending those guys out on a high note, trying to go 43-1. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
43-1 in their career, regular season career in this league. And I'm not an expert, but I think I know a little bit about Division II football. You know, you can argue it's a really good league in Division II football. And I'm just so proud of what they stand for. And the thing that's been cool for me is, you know, those guys, when we started talking in January, their talent, they knew they were talented and they have talent, but to listen to those guys talk, you know, what do you want your legacy to be, and what do you want to try to do as a senior, and how so many of them talked about picking up where last year's senior class left off from a leadership standpoint, not about playing, but a leadership standpoint, you know, and how Chase Sherman talked about how Shane did such a great job and how Daniel Kemp did such a great job. I mean, just go through the class, you know. Linebackers, I want to do well, you know, because Brock Sherman was a great leader for us. And the D-line, you know, I want to be a leader like Yost was. The accountability he brought to the meeting room. And so I've been so proud of them because, to me, they've been very humble and hungry when maybe it would have been hard for a group to do that.
And I would think, too, that's what helps keep that culture going, that culture of winning and that culture of family that you talked about at Northwest.
It does, John. We have a thing in the locker room that I had put up. It's sustained culture equals sustained success, and I really believe in that. There's so many things that go into having a great organization. I don't care if it's a sports organization, church, whatever. There's so many things that go into having a great organization, but if you can get the culture to where there's a sense of, I want to leave the place better than I found it. You know, I don't want to let the people down that came before me. When you can get that, man, it's powerful. It really is. And I don't think you can even put a price tag on it. You really can. It's just, it's when it comes from the soul and it comes from the heart, man, it's powerful.
We were talking with Scott Nielsen earlier, you know, about the Hall of Famers coming back and making the drive into Maryville. And it seems like what you're talking about, building the culture, the pride in the community, in the program, in the school, all that. These guys, 10, 15 years down the road, when they come back, they're going to have that drive.
Yeah.
They're going to have that feeling where this is home because of what we accomplished when we're here.
Well, it is, man. It's something, you know, I talked every now and then I get philosophical, believe it or not. And it just kind of comes to me. And I did Wednesday after practice, you know, I told our guys that, you know, what they're doing right now, you know, if they can finish what they started Saturday, that's stuff you hang your hat on the rest of your life. I mean, they're going to be ahead in the workforce. I really believe that. If you can make it through this culture, I mean that. I mean, because it's demanding. It's demanding physically. It's demanding mentally. There's pressure involved in it. I really believe that guys that can get through this are ahead in the workplace. You know, God forbid guys were to get sick, but the math tells you they're going to get sick, a few of them, that they know how to work. They know how to fight through that. They know how to get up and not feel sorry for themselves. And I don't know, man. It's just it's cool to see our guys doing what they're doing because, to me, it's so much more than football.
And what's a lot of fun is when you look at how much these guys enjoy being around each other. Just look over this table over to our right here, a bunch of guys.
Yep.
You can just tell that they like just being around each other.
They do, John. And, again, I think it's super important to our success because it doesn't – you've heard me say before, it doesn't – we always talking about, are you putting in time, are you putting in work? And we want the guys putting in work, but, man, it doesn't feel like work when you're having fun and you have that atmosphere of showing up every day at the complex refreshed and ready to go, and you just being with a group of guys that are good people. And it's just our whole building, man. We have a lot of fun together, and we try to always get better, and that's what's fun, seeing our guys just measuring themselves not to a standard of winning and losing, but a standard of looking in the mirror, man. Did I get better this week? Did I get better today? And it's not easy to do. It's really not. So I'm proud of them.
So is it real pressure when Cass comes over here and he feels forced to give shout-outs to everybody that's willing to give shout-outs?
Yeah, right.
Is that real pressure?
Well,
or
you know, I'll tell you the toughest to see, the hardest thing that I heard today, Bobby Grunlow told me he's thinking about cutting his hair. And I said, Bobby, there's no way you're cutting that hair. There's no way. So that was one of the most traumatizing things I heard today. I felt pressure when Bobby Grunlow told me he was going to cut his hair today. I mean, me and Bevins had to talk him out of it. So we're trying to – I don't know if we've got him swayed yet, but we may have to have an intervention with him tomorrow.
Well, we might as well talk a little bit about the game
Yeah.
Saturday. Missouri Western coming into town. What do you think about the Griffins here?
You know, rivalry week. I was telling some of the folks I'm sitting beside here that for whatever reason, every time we play Missouri Western, I always get all these emails. It's like clockwork, Sunday, Monday, and you know, I get I get a lot of advice on Missouri Western week, and I just kind of read through some of these. But it's a rivalry week, man. You can throw records out the windows. You know, they've got a lot of talent. They really do. I look at what they're doing defensively, just a solid group on defense. They play hard, fundamentally sound, run to the football, tackle well. It'll be the best group we've played all year as far as stripping the ball. They're phenomenal at it. You can tell they work it every day. Defensive line. Don't have a lot of depth on defense, you know, so they're really not playing many guys in the back end at linebacker. They're rotating the D-line. And then you flip it over offensively. Got a great offensive line, great running back leading the league in rushing. Got skill guys, really good group of receivers. They all complement each other well. They got a great speed guy that runs great routes in the slots. So going to be a tough matchup for us.
We do kind of filter for you because I know we hear from some people. Hey, next time you talk to AD.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You know, I won't name any names. Some of that comes from Germany, you know, every once in a while. But, you know, we do hear that. But we figure you guys probably all right.
We're trying. We do our best, man. I tell you, every week when we go into game, I feel good. Our assistant coaches, I think, do a great job. And our preparation is good. And, I told the kids when we walked off the practice field, I looked him in the eye and I said, you know what, we just had three phenomenal days of practice. So, you know, when we practice well, we usually play well. And that's been my experience here at Northwest. So I'm proud of our kids because they took the first step into having a good game Saturday and they practiced really well. Now we've got to get rest and eat properly and get our mind right for the game.
And a lot riding on the game. You can clinch the MIAA title outright. Yeah. You've already got a share of that title. And a lot, again, important going into the playoffs as well.
It really is, John. You know, we've been trying to get that message out all week to everybody that I know there's a lot going on in town this week, but really I want to encourage everybody to get out to the game because, again, I look at what our seniors done, man. Our seniors deserve to have a great crowd and the Bearcat Nation to be loud. But there's a ton riding on it. It really is. But I go back to, again, the most important thing is our seniors.
All right. Well, Adam, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Doyle. We'll be back and wrap things up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. A busy weekend coming up. It all starts tomorrow. We've got a couple basketball games for you as the Northwest Missouri State men will open up their season against Upper Iowa tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Tip-off, we'll have the broadcast beginning at 2:40 with our pregame from St. Joseph at the Missouri Western Fieldhouse. Then tomorrow night, it's an 8:15 tip-off for the Northwest women as they open up their season in Bolivar, as they will face Washita Baptist. That'll be, again, 8:15 start. Our broadcast begins at 7:55. And on Saturday, Bearcat football, Northwest and Missouri Western, 1:30 is kickoff time. We'll be on the air at 12:30 at Bearcat game day from Bearcat Stadium. Then Saturday night, Northwest women's basketball, Henderson State. That will be, again, an 8:15 start, and we'll be on there at 7:55 with that. Then we'll wrap up the weekend on Sunday, as we will have the Northwest men in action as they face Wayne State Sunday afternoon. So a lot coming up this weekend on KXCV, KRNW, and the Bearcat Radio Network. Thanks to everyone involved with our program tonight. From Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, I'm John Coffey, and so long until next week.
This is Sergeant Jake Angle with the Missouri State Highway Patrol. Don't zone.